Okay, let's begin. Welcome everyone. Today I'm going to talk about some of the work that I've been doing on provisioning bare metal on CloudStack using MaaS, or Metal as a Service. So a little bit about me. So my name is Syed. I am a CloudStack developer at CloudOps. Before being at CloudOps, I was at Citrix, and before Citrix, I was at Yahoo in various roles, mostly development. I have been a committer for CloudStack for close to about a year now, like an official committer, but I have been contributing to CloudStack for about 3 years. I've worked on a bunch of things like SSL termination with Netscaler. I did a lot of managed storage enhancements with Mike. I worked on Zen Server 7 support, and I also wrote the data storage plugin, which Ashok will give a presentation on later this evening. A little bit about CloudOps. This is the place where I work. We are essentially a professional services company. We are based out of Montreal. It's a beautiful city if you ever want to visit. So we offer services, or professional services, on CloudStack, OpenStack, and Kubernetes. And as you can see from the expanse of our expertise, we strongly believe in open source, and we believe in our customers defining their own destiny, and we want to help our customers achieve their goals by avoiding as much as vendor lock-in, avoiding vendor lock-in as much as possible. And now, the next question, the first question that everyone is going to ask is, why do you need bare metal now when you have a cloud where you can spin up VMs and everything? So there are a few use cases where having a physical bare metal makes sense. A couple of them are outlined here. The first reason why you want to go bare metal is because you want to avoid a noisy neighbor problem. So what a noisy neighbor is basically, if you have VMs, for example, and one of the VM which doesn't belong to you is doing a lot of I/O, you will be affected by it. And we have seen this numerous times with our customers where they have like a big storage repository, and one of the VMs has gone rogue, got compromised, starts dumping a lot of data, and suddenly you see the other customers go in a panic mode because they can't achieve their bandwidth. So that's a very, very, very important use case. The other use case is some applications require high throughput or high performance. So things like a lot of big data applications which require GPUs or other special hardware, things like one of our customers actually is interested in bare metal because they do a lot of encoding, video encoding, and because they work on live TV, they want the video encoding to be as fast as possible, and that's not possible in the VM. The other use case is building labs, like local labs for development. So nested virtualization makes your VMs very, very slow. So for example, if you're doing CloudStack development or OpenStack development, you need nested hypervisors. You can't really deploy nested hypervisors in the cloud right now with performance because, for example, AWS doesn't expose the VMX flag. So what you end up doing is emulation, which doesn't have hardware acceleration. So it's very, very slow. But if you install your lab or your setup on a bare metal host, your nested virtualization can be very, very fast. We've seen 2 to 3x performance gains just by removing a layer of virtualization. And obviously, some hardwares cannot be right now virtualized effectively. Things like ARM or things like hardware with FPGAs. So right now we're in a stage where people are starting to look at FPGAs and other special hardwares like ASICs, which do special things, mostly machine learning / big data. So they're not easily virtualized. So you can put them in a bare metal and then call it a day. And the last one is licensing restrictions. This is more of an enterprise thing. So we've had this issue, for example, with Oracle. So if you want to deploy, let's say, an Oracle database in a VM, you have to pay for the physical device license. So for example, if you have a 2-core VM and you want to deploy an Oracle on a 2-core VM, you don't pay for the license for 2 cores. You pay for the license for the physical host, which may be, like in our case, it is a 48-core VM. So you will pay a license for 48 cores, whereas you will only use 2 cores. So if you install Oracle database on a bare metal, you use the full license, so you use the full capacity. Now, there is an implementation in Cloud Stack for bare metal, but it's really bad. It sucks big time. as a lot of... but it's like people started working on it and they forgot that it exists, and then they just left it. There are a lot of things that they didn't consider, and some of them I've highlighted here. So before I went on my journey to find how to do bare metal in Cloud Stack, I actually looked at the existing implementation, and I also looked at other implementations by other providers. Like I looked at Ironic from OpenStack, so I looked at Cobbler, I looked at this one, Digital Rebar. So I'll come to why I chose Mass, but these are the current existing problems with bare metal in Cloud Stack. The first thing is, if you're doing advanced network, which most people are, you require the virtual router to be in the management network. Now, traditionally, your virtual router is in a network which is local to the hypervisor, for KVM and Zen server at least. So that is because if your VR gets compromised, it doesn't leak into the management network, which basically controls your whole cloud. So if you want to do bare metal in Cloud Stack, you have to have your VR in the management network. The next thing is, it's kind of a weird ordering. So if you use existing implementation of bare metal, you have to start your bare metal hosts first, and then you start your VMs. Because there is an ordering problem, your VR gets started in a bad state. So to ensure that, you always start your bare metal first. That means your existing implementations or your existing clouds cannot be upgraded because you have to shut all your VMs down. You require a kickstart server, which runs separately somewhere else, and then you have to manage that yourself. And then the kickstart server has to have HA and et cetera, et cetera. So that's another headache. You also have to manage your own templates, which may not be ideal because you are basically playing catch up with all the upstream if you manage your own templates. Now here's the big one. Once I looked at this, I was like, okay, no, we're not going with Cloud Stack. So the VR in Cloud Stack proxies all the images from the Kickstart server. So the VR stores the image, and then it does pixie boot of the physical host. Now imagine, this may work for like CentOS or Ubuntu where the image size is like 2 gig, but for Windows, the image is 100 gig, right? Now, that means your VR should, the root disk of a VR should at least be 100 gig or more. And we've seen a lot of issues with the VR where it just fills the disk, and just because there are too many logs. And you don't want to have a VR which is 100 gig. And I'm talking about only one image. If you deploy like 5 Windows images, you have to have a 500 gig VR image. That doesn't work. So that was a big reason why I chose not to work with the existing implementation of the bare metal offering. And obviously there are other things. There are no shared networks, which is also a big thing, because you need a shared network for bare metal, because bare metal is probably going a 10 gig network bandwidth. And you want to have a physical device which can catch that, or which can provide that 10 gig bandwidth. And that's possible using shared networks. If you don't use that, all your traffic would go through the VR. And the VR is like a tiny VM. It can't handle 10 gig. So right now, with the current limitation, you can't have shared networks. But with the new implementation, you can do that. Also, there is no multi-nic support. So for example, generally the way we deploy is, if you have a bare metal server, you take two 10 gig links and you put it on two different switches, so that if your switch goes down, it doesn't cripple your whole rack. So you have HA on the switch. But with the current implementation, you can only have a single NIC, so it doesn't support network bonding. And there's, like, if you look at the docs, they say don't make more than 10 concurrent deployments, because it may kill your VR. So these are all the reasons why I didn't, or why it needs to, why I started looking at alternatives. And as I said, I've looked a bunch of alternatives, and I chose MAS because, so first of all, it has a full API support. Everything can be configured via the API. It has official support for the template, so you don't have the headache of managing templates. So it supports CentOS, Ubuntu, and Windows. You can deploy it in HA configuration, so that means it's fault tolerant. It can support network bonding, so that means you don't have a single point of failure on the switch. It has disk error support. This is also very interesting. So as a cloud provider, you want to have a feature where what you do is basically, once a customer is done with a bare metal instance, before giving it to another customer, you want to erase the disk, right? Because if you just give the same host to another customer, he can basically read the disk and get the data off another customer. So this is like a data privacy issue. So you want to have like a disk erase feature. So MAS supports that. It can also do disk partitioning, so you can do LVM and et cetera on that. But that is a feature we don't use it right now. Now, how do you add MAS to CloudStack? So it's very easy. You just set these two settings. So the first setting gives you what the provider is for the bare metal. By default, it is the Pixie or the VR provider, which does the Pixie via the VR. You just set it to the MAS resource provider, and then you set the URL to basically a key value pair of the IP address and the credentials that are required to connect to the MAS server. And that's it, then you're good to go. So right now, the features that are supported are advanced networks, which means you can do VLAN isolation. It can provision CentOS, Ubuntu, and Windows. Right now, I've only tested it for CentOS, but given the fact that MAS supports Ubuntu and Windows, so it shouldn't be problematic to install those as well. It supports network bonding, as I said, so there is no single point of failure on the switch. Can do disk erase, and you can add multiple networks to a single bare metal host. All right, let's see if this works. So, hope the demo gods are with me today. And I begin. So this is your traditional cloud stack, right? Right now, what I have here is just a single VM running in a network. This is like a standard network. So this is an isolated network with 10.1.1/24 range. Now, I will start configuring it so that it will work with MAS. So the first thing that I needed to do is to set those two settings that I showed in the slide. So if I go back, the first setting is the class name. So I've already set that here. So if you see this one, external bare metal class name, I've set it to the MAS provider. I've also set the URL. point to the mass URL. So just to give you what I'm going to do, I will show you the network diagram. So I have a CloudStack server, I have a mass server, and I have a bare metal host. So both the CloudStack and the mass server are connected to the bare metal via the IPMI. So this will help them do, this will, thank you, Will. this will help them boot the mass, this will help them boot the bare metal server and like configure the boot order, so whether to boot from Pixie or whether to boot from the disk. The physical host is connected via two 10 gig links to a top of rack switch, and the top of rack switch is managed by the CloudStack management server. The Pixie network is the default network from where all the physical hosts boot. So this is basically the setup. Now let's go back. So the first thing I needed to do was to add the global settings. I have done that. Now you're ready to basically start provisioning the bare metal hosts. The next thing that you need to do is to define something called as a rack configuration. So if you go here and you select bare metal rack configuration, it basically is a JSON which defines how the physical ports on the bare metal are connected to the switch. So let me show you an example of what it looks like. So I believe it is on this one. Okay, so this is a JSON which defines your rack configuration. So as you can see, the first is the top of the rack switch. You give the IP address, you give the admin password, and you give what type of switch you have. This is required because CloudStack will configure the VLANs on the physical switch so that it is in the right network. The next thing you need to give is basically the port of the physical switch and what MAC address is connected to it. Now, this is required to configure which ports need to be in which VLANs. So once this information is given to CloudStack, it can know which hosts are part of which VLAN. And it will be configured based on that. So that's the rack configuration. I have already added it. So the way you add it, basically give it a URL and then it will add it here. So I have already added this exact the rack configuration, except I've changed the password. Now once you add that, the next thing you need to do is to create a bare metal cluster. So go to infrastructure, go here, and you basically add a cluster and you select the hypervisor as bare metal. And then just give it a name and you're done. So I have already added that bare metal cluster here. It's the exact same thing just that I just showed. Okay, so once you have the cluster, the next thing you need to do is to add hosts. So you go to add host. Now you select the bare metal cluster. You give the IP address of the IPMI. So I have my hosts here. I will select this one. So this is the IPMI address of the host. So I go here, username, I know it's root. I know it's an 8-core machine, and 1000 megahertz, and it's an 8 gig. Now, host MAC is the Pixie MAC, the MAC address over on which the Pixie runs. So I'll just copy this one. And now it's adding here. So I'll go to mass. So this is the mass UI. So as you can see, there are three hosts. This is just a VM that I was using for testing. This is the host that's being added right now. So what it's doing is sort of commissioning. So what this means is MAS will boot this, and try to figure out what the hardware configuration of this host is. And once it does, it becomes in a ready state, and you can see that up in CloudStack here. So this is another host which I have already added, and it's an upstate, so this can be used to provision VMs on top of it, or bare metal VMs. So while this gets added, we will do a bunch of other things using this host. So the next thing that you need to do is to define templates. Now, bare metal templates are slightly different than your standard templates. The way I use that is, so the way you add a bare metal template is like this. So the URL specifies what image on the mass you will use. So in this case, for example, if I go to mass here, I go to images. There are a bunch of images I have. I have sent 1604, 1404, and then I have CentOS 7 and CentOS 6. So in this case, I will just add CentOS 7, sorry. So this is an important thing. This basically maps it to the mass image. So if you go to the mass API and then list all the images, this would be the name of the image in mass. Now I'll do bare metal CentOS 7. You choose the hypervisor as bare metal, and you choose the format as bare metal, and the OS type as CentOS. The OS type, honestly, at this point doesn't matter because all of this is managed by mass, but I will add CentOS 7 because this makes more sense. Now this is done. Okay, now I've added the bare metal 7 CentOS image. The next thing we need to do is to create a service offering for this, a compute offering. So I'll go here, service offerings. Okay, so service offerings. I have already a service offering for a bare metal instance, but I will add the new one. So this is bare metal 8 core and 8 gig. This was the 8 core machine, 8192, and here's the important part. When selecting the deployment planner, you have to select the bare metal planner so that it goes and selects a bare metal host instead of spinning up a VM. Now you do OK, and you have added your bare metal offering. So I already have one here. Now we have all the three things that are required. We have the host, we have the service offering, and we have the template. So we can start creating a bare metal instance. So we go here, template. I select my bare metal 7 CentOS. I go next. I select the 16 core offering because this is already added. I go next. I select the network that a VM is already running on. I go next. I select my SSH key. I go next. So this is a bare metal VM. I launch it. So now what's happening is it goes back to mass. So let's go look at mass. So now, right now it's in a ready state. Now you see it's allocated and it's starting to deploy CentOS 7. Now it does a lot of things. So the first thing mass does is boot the host, and so it sort of boots in like a pixie boot. And then it dumps the OS onto the disk. And then once that's done, it sets the boot order to now next boot from disk. And once that happens, the local OS, which mass just dumped, it takes over. And then it starts sort of resizing the disk, installing, creating the partitions, et cetera, and once that's done, this deploys goes from deploying, this goes to deployed. Now, once that happens, it returns back to CloudStack. Now, CloudStack will figure out which network this host needs to go. It will configure the switch with the right VLANs, and then finally return back to the user. So while this deployment is happening, what we will do is we'll create like a port forwarding so that we can SSH into the bare metal VM. So this is just to show that all the features of advanced network work on this bare metal host. So I go to the network. I will create an egress rule. So I already have an egress rule to allow all traffic. Now I will allocate a public IP. So I'll acquire a public IP. So in this case, it's like fake public IP, but you can imagine this to be any public IP. Now I will configure the firewall to allow from everywhere. So this will allow my 22 for SSH. Yes.
So I didn't quite get, where was the relationship between the size of the host and then what you described in the service offering in terms of number of calls?
So when you add a host, you give what size the host is. So for example, infrastructure, if I go to host and add a host, so if I select bare metal cluster, so it gives you what the host size is. Okay. And when you create a bare metal VM, with given a service offering, it tries to match this setting. So you have
the allocator to try to match it to something.
Exactly. So it does, right now it does an exact match, which means you can't have, so for example, if you have a 16 core VM, you can't deploy an 8 core offering. You have to have an exact match between the service offering and the host settings, which you do here.
Okay.
But you can imagine having 10 hosts, which are 8 core. So it will select any of those hosts, right?
Okay. You use those host tags, so if you've got one that's got a GPU.
Exactly. So special hardware, GPU, FPGAs, or ASICs, you use host tags in that case, and you can use the host tags in the service offering.
So with regards to the hardware, is that now dedicated to the user you're logged in as?
Yes, it's 100% dedicated.
How do you manage the ownership of that piece of hardware at this point?
Well, it's completely in customer's network, so he can't connect to anything else.
But from that point, if I now log on with another account,
yes,
obviously that host, that piece of hardware is no longer available to me.
Yes.
So underneath it covers, how do you define that piece of hardware is owned by your account?
Oh, it's already defined by CloudStack. So CloudStack already has this notion of roles. So it's handled exactly same as a VM would be handled, right? Except that this is a physical entity. But from an access or a role-based point of view, it follows the same rules as any other CloudStack entity.
Okay, so it's a different mechanism than if I just went in and dedicated a hypervisor host to an account, for example, or domain.
Yeah, it's a different mechanism.
It's a different mechanism.
Yeah. Okay, where was I? So we were doing network. We were trying to allocate a public IP to the bare metal box so we can SSH into it. Not egress rule. Sorry. Okay, so this was our IP address. We configured the firewall on this. We need to configure port forwarding. So I want to do 22 at a VM. So I will add this VM. Okay, so now we have everything to SSH into the box once it comes up. So let's take a look at what's happening here. So it's still deploying. Because it does a lot of reboots, like I think 4 reboots, so it's a little bit slow. I've seen it take about 10 minutes, close to 10 minutes for deploying a bare metal host, which is fine given the fact that it can take about an hour on SoftLayer. We've had cases where it took 4 hours to deploy bare metal on SoftLayer. Given that 10 minutes is it's like a rounding error.
That's because they're sending people.
That's exactly right.
Anyway.
Sorry.
Yes.
Has Mass got the ability to inject any variables into?
Yeah, it supports data key, data, like it supports Cloud in it, so you can insert your user data using using Mass. There are a bunch of things that are very interesting in Mass. So here's the thing, Mass is very good at deploying bare metal. It's not very good at doing networking with it. So I use the features of Mass which relate to deployment and management of the bare metal host itself, and all the higher level functions like networking, port forwarding, VPN, et cetera, are managed by CloudStack. So we are using basically the best of both worlds to achieve like a bare metal offering.
So you still use the VR to achieve some of the special functions?
Yes. So for example, DHCP would be given by the VR because the network is controlled by CloudStack. Okay, so this is deployed. That's good. Now what's happening right now is CloudStack is configuring the network so that it's in the right network. And I think right now you have it running. This has got an IP of 1.69, and I will go ahead and look at the public IP. Where is it? This network, view IP addresses. This is the IP address, 2.193. Okay, let me SSH into that. So I'll choose this host because I know this is the key that I used. Doesn't like me. Hold on. Okay, there we go. So let's go back. 172.31.2.193. It may be possible that I don't have access it from this host. Or maybe the firewall is preventing it. Hold on, let me just check things. This firewall is set to allow, that's good.
Did you set it to
4.4? Yeah. No, there is port forwarding. Hold on, let me just delete this and add it. Okay, that was the problem. There's always the VR is the problem, as usual.
Because it wasn't deployed yet by the time you added the program.
Yeah. The root. Oh, God. Okay, hold on. Which is... this one. This is the same problem. I don't know which key I used. Okay, but okay. So let's go the other way. I will add another put forwarding to add to the VM that's running. So this is the VM that's running. Hold on. Okay. Yeah, go here. The IP addresses today. Configuration. Let's open another port. So what I'm going to do right now is to SSH into the VM that's running, and from there we can see that it's I can ping the bare metal host. So basically they're in the same network. Okay, so oh yeah, sorry. Ah, I have to reset this again. Network demo VIP addresses, this guy, configuration, port forwarding. So private port is 22, public port is 2222, add the demo VM. This I know is a root and password. This is a simple one. Okay, so I am in the 10.1.1 network. So if from here I should be able to SSH to this guy, which is 10.1.1.69, or actually I should be able to ping it. So that means they are basically in the same network. I can also SSH here. But it's rejecting me because it has bad key. That's kind of strange. But basically what has happened right now is you have these two hosts in the same network or same L2 network, and you can basically do a lot of things here. So for example, you can run your cloud stack management server in the VM, and you can have your bare metal hosts serving as hypervisors, or you can have your web UI for Apache Spark or something like that here, and then you can have your actual compute happening on bare metal. So you can do a lot of interesting things with this kind of a setup. And obviously, because it's in a advanced network, you can do whatever advanced networking offers, things like VPN. So you can do you can directly VPN to your bare metal host. You can do port forwarding, as we saw. You can add more NICs to it. So right now, I don't have another network. But we can create another network, and then you can add this bare metal host to another network. You can do VPCs on it. Basically anything that is allowed, which is on a VM. Things you can't do right now on this are, you can't do snapshots, because there is no concept of a root volume. You can't do bare metal, or you can't attach data disks to it, because like data disks are a very hypervisor concept. But most of the things other than that, you can pretty much do without any major trouble.
How about the console?
Yeah, you can't access the console. So we definitely will not allow any users to access the console, because they can access the BIOS. So if you click vconsole, it will basically like error out. Because if people can have access to the console, they can basically own the host. So console access is not allowed. So the final thing that I wanted to demo is basically shutting this host down, so that we will see how it deletes all the data and the disks. So if I clicked destroy and expunge, so it goes back to, so it first puts the host in the mask network from the switch configuration. So that's what it's doing right now. So in a few moments, you will see that it will basically start destroying this host.
Is that rack configuration a cloud stack thing or a mass thing?
It's a cloud stack thing. So it was there before I started my development. So my aim when developing this was to add as little code as possible to cloud stack. So that's why you have this weird settings, because they already were present. I'm just using them so that I don't create another snowflake. So I'm just I am a strong believer in adding as less code as possible. In fact, removing code is actually a better thing to do. So a lot of things that I've done is basically reused a lot of the bare metal provisioning source. So right now you can see that it's sort of erasing the disk. So what this does is basically boot the OS, and it will just flush or erase the disk. Now you can erase the disk in two ways. One is a full disk erase, which will basically zero out all the blocks on the disk, and the other one is like a quick erase, which just does the first 1 MB of the disk. So in this case, I'm using the quick erase method. So once this host boots up, it will just basically delete itself, or it will delete the 1 MB and then shut itself down.
Does it do any sanity checking as part of that? Because obviously, if this is Pixie based, then Pixie is great. It's not exactly the most reliable thing, and it's never has been in all the decades it's been around.
Yes.
So obviously, relying 100% on Pixie doing its job on something that you may hand over to another client in 5 minutes' time seems a little bit risky.
Yes. So, to that point, there is a call home functionality. Mm-hmm. So, mask doesn't call it done until it receives that call home. So mask doesn't just deploy the OS and then forget it. So it deploys the OS, then the OS actually boots up, and then it calls mask and then says, "Hey, I'm up." So then mask says it's good. So then it handles back to CloudStack. Otherwise, it will fail, and then CloudStack will basically handle that error and then make that host back to like a ready state, so to speak. It'll take some time to erase the disk. I bet we can look at, if we have some time before it does that, we can look at the IPMI console on this and then see what exactly is happening. Before it gets, it's already done. It's gone, so it's back to ready. Now it's gone from here. Now it can be reused again. So if I go template, I choose that guy, I choose the 16 core instance again, I go and select the key. Now I launch it again. So imagine this is another customer. So then he is basically using it again. So now you can see, go back here. So it's ready, so it'll take some time because it has to go in the Pixie network. So it's starting again. So this is a whole workflow. That basically is my demo. It sucks I couldn't SSH into the box. I don't know why, because demo. That is the only reason.
Exactly.
Because it worked today morning in my home, in my room. So,
let's put your room in the rack.
Yeah.
Do you know what switches are supported for that?
Yes. So right now there is only two switches that are supported. One is the 410 by Dell, and the other one is the Brocade fast iron switches that we have in the lab. But adding support for a switch is just implementing two functions, which is basically add VLAN, remove VLAN. That's the only two functions you have to implement. So adding switches is super easy. I'm going to add support for Juniper switches very soon, because that's what we're using in our data centers.
So you said that's just a question of digging through manuals, working up with the API calls or SSH commands, whatever it is, for and just add them yourself, basically.
Yes.
We don't need to wait for the your systems of the world to add support for this.
No, you can add. They already exist. They already exist. You can just add them as a provider, and then you can configure your rack configuration so that it basically shows you which type of what. Hold on, where is it? So basically, this one. The type field defines what bare metal host. What top of rack switch you're using. And it can be configured via whatever method you want.
Okay, one quick update, so that I think it will be useful to everyone.
Sure.
That, you were talking about not having multiple network support, that's one of the limitations that's actually coming in.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So from Axelrite, we have already, we are done with the testing, and I think the patch is already there, the PR is up. And
I see. Do you guys also do sort of try to do bonding, because that's for
that's the next step actually.
Okay.
One of the, so as of now, it's like now get two things on the one network now, so that you can at least the bonding would be the challenge with bonding is that you know you have to do the changes within the OS on the other side.
Exactly.
So as of now, if you just put the links up and configure the VLANs of the switches properly, you know.
Yeah. So the thing here that's where Mass is good at, because it handles everything by itself. So if I go here, okay. So if you go here and see, so it actually created the bond network. So these are actually two physical networks, and it created the bond itself. So like again, CloudStack doesn't need to really care about managing the configuration on the physical host. So I have basically offloaded it to some third party, because we have to when you're talking about CloudStack, you have to define what CloudStack manages and what CloudStack shouldn't manage. We are seeing the same situation with the VR, where you're modifying configuration files, which you should not be in the business of doing that, right? You should let someone who knows that handle it for you.
So again, in that sense, is a perfect complement to the
Exactly. That's why we chose to work this way, instead of implementing everything our own. Like again, like it's an NIH thing, right?
What version of CloudStack is it?
This is master. So I have to like
4.10.
It's 4.11. It's probably going to be in 4.11. I have to do write unit tests on this, and I have to basically test various scenarios where anything can fail anytime, right? Because you're dealing with bare metal. You can't just the cleanup process is way more involved, so it needs a lot more testing.
And those mass images, is that a fairly standard procedure to create them, or is it only specific OSs that are? It's obviously, from our point of view, this will slot straight into Trillium, and we would probably like to stick ESXi and VMware and KVM up there.
This would work perfectly with Trillium, because Trillium uses the shared networks, and it uses VMs or projects, right? So the projects can deploy bare metal hosts, which can deploy the hypervisors. Directly on the physical host.
So those images, are they relatively straightforward, or can you only work with what the mass guys or canonical have made?
Well, so if you go here on the images on the mass side, these are the official images, which is the Ubuntu images, and these are the official CentOS images. But you have something called as generated images. These are your custom images, which you can generate and then push to mass. And then you can use this, these guys. So I have, for example, created a CentOS 6.7, which is like alpha CentOS 7. So if you want to do, like, for example, CoreOS, CoreOS is not here. you can put a CoreOS image. But you again have to do a little bit more work to make, for example, bonding work on the OS. So it's, but everything is inside the template, not in CloudStack.
And it's an open source project?
Mass is open source project, yes. But they're surprisingly, they're not on GitHub. They use Launchpad because it's Ubuntu, and they have, like, I don't know, weird reasons for not using GitHub. So it's hard to find their source code. Okay, yeah, I can actually show you what's happening right now because now it's in deployment state. I don't know how much time I have. Probably like
just a bit over time, but if you want to take, I know the next guy presenting is also from CloudOps. I think it's Mark.
Mark.
Right? Oh. So I don't know if you guys. We mostly try to keep things on time so that speakers don't have a conflict of, you know, just you start taking someone else.
Okay, no, I don't know.
You can just
keep going. I sit next to Mark, or very close to Mark, so I don't want to encroach on his in his time. But okay, this is basically what is happening with the whole CloudStack/Mass setup. So that's it.